News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and a warm welcome to another episode of Northeast Diary, your window into the vibrant cultures, inspiring stories and unfolding events from the eight jewels of India's Northeast. I'm Vinita Thakur and in today's program, we bring you an exclusive interview with Ms. Nainia Konyak, owner and co-founder of Millet Magic Cafe in Mon District, as she shares her inspiring journey of creating magic with millets. We'll also feature the story of a progressive farmer from Tripura who has cultivated a remarkable mango orchard. And later, we bring a report from Kohima on the recently held 22nd annual conference of the CPA India Region Zone 3. But first, let's head to Sikkim, which is all set to host the 41st edition of the All India Governors Gold Cup International Football Tournament from November 16th. The Governor's Gold Cup stands as Sikkim's premier football tournament, attracting top national and international teams of the Himalayan state. Organized by the Sikkim Football Association, the event not only celebrates the region's rich football heritage, but also provides a vital platform for local talent to shine on a larger stage, promoting unity and sports excellence. More from our Gangtok correspondent, Dili Ramdulal.
16 team, including top ISL, I-League, Santosh Trophy and Nepal League champion will compete in the 41st All India Governors Gold Cup Football Tournament 2025 scheduled from November 16 to 29 at Palzeri Stadium organized by the Sikkim Football Association SFA. This year's edition marks the return of Kolkata giant East Bengal Football Club after 28 years along with the participation of 5 Sikkim-based clubs for the first time. Talking to All India Radio, Sikkim Football Association President Manla Ithampa said, "This year's tournament is significant as it brings together some of the strongest clubs from India and abroad. We have ensured maximum participation of local teams to provide a larger platform for Sikkimese footballers to showcase their talent and gain exposure."
41st All India Governors Gold Cup International Football Tournament 2025 will be held at Palzeri Stadium, Gangtok from 16th of November to 29th of November. This time around, we have 16 teams from India and Nepal participating. Amongst the team, the reputed East Bengal Club Calcutta, then last year's defending champion Northeast United, then I-League champion Inter-Kashi FC, Rajasthan United FC, I-League team, plus Naroka FC, again another I-League team. Naroka is from Manipur. And we have Diamond Haifa FC, who is the champion of the Dulen Indian Oil Cup recently, held in Assam. And we have another I-League club, Sudeva Delhi FC. Beside them, we have Services 11, who were the holder of the Santosh Trophy last year. And we have, again, GTA, Darjeeling 11, and Tibetan National Football Association also participating with us, along with 5 Sikkim local clubs. In fact, this time we have given maximum participation to our Sikkim local clubs because of the fact that we have given a lot of exposure to our local clubs to sharpen their skill, local players' skill, and to play in a competitive tournament like Governors World Cup. So we hope that this time around our local boys will be getting that platform and hope they will sign up well, because a lot of spotters will also be here during the Governors World Cup time to spot the talented player, to take them to their respective clubs and maybe at the national level as well. I call upon all the Sikkimese football fans and the fans, football fans from neighboring Kalimpong, Darjeeling, Kerchen, Siliguri and all to come forward and witness these matches at Parsons Stadium.
He further informed that double matches will be played on November 16 and 17 and floodlight matches from November 24 to 27, promising thrilling football evening at Palzer Stadium, Gangtok. With Moinak Chatterjee, Diram Dulal, Akashwani News, Gangtok for Northeast Diary.
Nagaland recently hosted the 22nd Annual Conference of the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association, CPA, India Region Zone 3 in Kohima from November 11th to 12th, held under the theme Policy, Progress and People, Legislatures as Catalysts of the Change. The two-day event brought together key leaders and lawmakers from across the country and the Northeast. Our Kohima correspondent Mary brings us the report.
The conference was inaugurated by Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla, who was joined by Chief Minister of Nagaland Nipur Ryo, Deputy Chairman of the Rajya Sabha Harivansh, and Nagaland Legislative Assembly Speaker Sharingane Longkumar, who is also Chairman of the CPA India Region Zone 3. In his inaugural address, Speaker Birla called upon legislatures to frame policies through collective dialogue and public participation to ensure inclusive and sustainable development.
और इस इलाके की प्राकृतिक सुंदरता, इस इलाके का समृद्ध संस्कृति विविधताएं, ये यहाँ की ताकत है और इसीलिए हम विकास का रोडमैप बनाते समय हमारी विधानसभाएं विकास के उन मापदंडों पर और नीतियों के आधार पर किस तरीके से विकास हो, जन अपेक्षाओं, जन आकांक्षाओं के अनुसार विकास हो और विकास के अंदर जनता की जन भागीदारी हो.
Mr. Birla also highlighted the unique geographical challenges of the Northeast, emphasizing the need to develop a special action plan to address climate-related issues and foster the region's development without compromising its biodiversity and cultural heritage. Also addressing the conference, Nagaland Chief Minister Nipur Ryo urged legislatures to reaffirm their commitment to parliamentary democracy and cooperative federalism.
Our region is rich in diversity, culture and natural resources, has immense potential to contribute to India's growth story. The CPA Zone 3 must continue to play a proactive role in shaping policies that promote inclusive development and greater integration of the Northeastern region with the rest of the country and beyond.
Over the course of the 2 days, the conference saw rich discussions around topics including role of legislatures in achieving Viksit Bharat 2047 and climate change in the light of the recent cloudbursts and landslides in the Northeast region. In his closing remarks, Deputy Chairman of the Rajya Sabha Harivansh praised the conference for embodying the true spirit of parliamentary democracy, noting the vibrant debates, thoughtful exchanges and collaborative approach to policy making.
We must resolve to strengthen regional cooperation, share our best practices, and ensure that the laws we frame translate swiftly into outcomes. Let us remember that the strength of our democracy lies not only in the laws we make, but in the sincerity with which we uphold the trust of the people.
During the conference, participants adopted 9 resolutions, including calls for enhanced budget allocation for the Northeast states and creation of an exclusive targeted program for the region to promote socio-cultural and economic growth. They also took part in a tree plantation drive to mark the event. Legislators from 7 out of the 8 Northeastern states, including presiding officers, MPs and MLAs, participated in the conference. For Northeast Diary, this is Mary Mayase, Akashwani News, Kohima.
And now, folks, we bring you the story of a progressive farmer, Taithok Riang, who has cultivated a thriving mango orchard in Shikaribari, Tripura. Our Agartala correspondent Suman Bhattacharya has this report for you all.
Here is the story of a progressive farmer of Dhalai district, Taithak Riang, who has cultivated mango orchard in Shikaribari, Tripura. He responded to the call of the Minister of Agriculture and Farmers Welfare, Ratanlal Nath, nicely to ensure that not even an inch of land remains unused. He has created a remarkable mango orchard on 44 kanis of land at Shikaribari. Gone are the days of shifting or jhum cultivation across hills and forests. The jhum cultivation has provided food security and livelihoods for over 20% of tribal families in Tripura. The practice has faced sustainability issues due to reduced fallow periods caused by population growth. At the foothills of the Longtharai range now stands a vast mango orchard. Located about 20 kilometers from Mombasa, the district headquarters, this orchard was developed by Taithak Riang with government support. After 3 years of hard work, the trees have started bearing fruit. Once the land was used for jhum cultivation, but now the hill is adorned with varieties like Miyazaki, Banana Mango and Amrapali. With government support, the land once used for jhum is now filled with varieties like Miyazaki, Banana and Amrapali Mango. According to Riang, mangoes worth over 6 lakh rupees were sold from the first harvest last year. Meanwhile, Joyaprabha Deep Burma, Superintendent of Agriculture, Ambasha Division, said that Miyazaki saplings have been distributed again this year along with various forms of financial assistance. She also mentioned that various forms of financial and technical assistance are being provided to encourage more farmers to take up such initiatives. This flourishing mango orchard stands as a shining example of how state government support combined with farmers' determination can transform the hilly areas of Tripura into fertile, productive land. It embodies the state government's vision of agricultural growth, sustainability and prosperity even in the remotest corners of the state. For Northeast Diary, Shuman Bhattacharjee, Akashvani Agartala.
Gentle rain, awaken and arise, looking for sunrise. Millet swaying all around, once lost, now found, nourishing body and soul. It's time to make us whole.
Is the world's largest producer of millets, a group of indigenous resilient grains that are regaining prominence for their nutritional value and environmental benefits. Rich in protein, vitamins and minerals, millets are often called nutritious cereals. They are gluten-free and have a low glycemic index, making them ideal for people with celiac disease or diabetes. In a special interview, Ms. Nainia Konyak, owner and co-founder of Millet Magic Cafe in Mon District, speaks with Akashwani presenter Asangla Jameer about her inspiring journey of promoting healthy eating through millet-based innovations.
Listeners, today we have a special story with us, and to share about that story where millet creates magic. We have the owner of Millet Magic with us today. So I would like to invite her to this show. Thank you so much for being here with us. And so to start off with, can you kindly introduce yourself and also kindly share the history behind Millet Magic and also kindly share what inspired you to start using millet as a substitute in fast food?
My name is Minya Konyak from Mon District. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share the story and vision behind Millet Magic Restaurant and connect with your audience. Well, millet was one of the traditional food items that helped our people survive during famine in the past. But sadly, now that we are all exposed to modern food items, millet is quietly losing its place from everyday meals on our plates, despite its numerous health benefits. But the good news is villagers in the upper region of Konyakland still cultivate millets. Yet again, the awareness about the use of millet remains low. Though they cultivate, they themselves lean more towards the food items found in the market, and the millets take a back seat all over again. In all this research and planning to promote the forgotten traditional food, it was always God who gave this innovative idea, as written in Isaiah 1 verse 19. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land. And alongside, not forgetting the huge support of my business partner, who manages all the supplies of millet from the village. So, considering the health concern and the slowly vanishing traditional food culture of ours, we come up with this brand named as Millet Magic, where tradition meets nutrition. So in a way, we are supporting the farmers locally by buying raw materials and reaching the larger community by serving.
Well, thank you so much for the introduction and also for mentioning the history behind Millet Magic. So I'm also curious to know, was there any particular moment or an aha moment or experience that sparked your passion for millet?
Yes. In the first place, I personally was not a great fan of millet because it is bland in taste, but lately I recollected how people and doctors emphasize the importance of millets for boosting immunity and recovery when a viral disease, dengue, hit the entire town a couple of years back. So over the years, I have also observed people in our town turning more health conscious, and just this thought strike my mind to try something new out of those boring millets into exciting food, which can be possibly loved by all age groups, and also meeting the taste buds of people with a little touch of modern fast food items.
So why millet? What makes it a better alternative in your opinion, ma'am?
We choose millets because, as per my research, millets are rich in nutrients, gluten-free, and it's also gut-friendly for those who have digestive-related issues, and it boosts immunity, and it's beneficial for overall health.
And also, how do you source your millet from, or where do you source your millet from, and are you also collaborating with local farmers, vendors, or community groups to promote millet? Can you kindly explain the process of it as well to us?
Actually, we started just a month ago, and after all the planning and strategies, so far, we are buying from a village called Chen. We place an order accordingly, and they pound and send it to us.
Well, as you've mentioned, although it's just been a month, I'm really impressed by the way you have managed to partner up with local farmers to promote millet through your creativity as well. Now, coming back to the next question, you have also in our previous conversation mentioned about the health benefits of millet, but can you also kindly elaborate on some of the health benefits that you've noticed or heard from your customers?
Like I stated earlier, millet never tasted good to me. So I also expect the same from others, and I was reluctant at first. But surprisingly, even those who hated millets loved it in the form of millet momo, chow, milk, millet milk, pakora, etc.
So I'm just curious to know, what kinds of fast food items have you successfully made using millet?
Okay, some of the food items that we have made successfully by using millet are millet momo, millet chow, millet milk cold, and millet tea that is served hot, millet dosa, millet fried rice, millet kalho, millet chicken pakora, and millet dessert, etc.
Well, the way you explain about the food makes my mouth water, and I would also love to try it myself, make myself at home and try it out. Now, since this is such a new concept for us and our taste palette, I'm sure that there must have been so many challenges for you as well. So were there any kind of challenges in adapting traditional fast food recipes to the use of millet?
Definitely, yes. The first challenge that I faced were binding and consistency issues as compared to wheat flour. And I find it difficult to achieve the same elasticity and smoothness in dough for items like preparing for chow and momo. And secondly, it has its earthy flavor, so customers may take time to accept the taste compared to refined flour. Thirdly, it has a shorter shelf life, millet-based products tend to spoil or get hardened easily because of the natural fiber and lack of preservatives.
Now, alongside the challenges that you have mentioned, how do you ensure that the taste and the texture appeal to people of your region who are so used to, you know, wheat-based products?
In order to ensure the taste and texture are familiar with wheat-based products, what I do is I blend millets with familiar ingredients with a small portion of wheat flour and all the other ingredients used in preparing modern fast food items.
For a business to thrive, it is also important that there is demand in consumers. So how have people in Mon responded to your millet-based products?
Whoever have visited my restaurant generally loved it, and I'm receiving positive feedbacks, and honestly, I'm also accepting, receiving, and improving as per the constructive criticism at the same time.
Can you also kindly mention what strategies have you used to educate consumers about millet and its benefits?
Okay, some of the strategies that I use to educate my customers about millet and its benefits are through social media platforms like Instagram, Facebook, and via WhatsApp status.
Now, coming back to the next question, what are your future plans for expanding this initiative? Are there any new products or new markets that you are willing to explore?
Well, I'm looking forward for more opportunities to reach to the mainstream market and outsource it beyond Mon and our state as well.
I want to ask you a rhetorical question. Do you see potential for millet to become a staple in Nagaland's food culture?
Hopefully, yes, because millet was once a part of Nagaland's traditional diet, especially in rural and hilly areas. So it's quite suitable for hilly regions to cultivate, and it will be a revival of Nagaland's diet.
Now, since you are also in the field of business, I want to ask you, what advice would you like to give to other young entrepreneurs in the region who want to innovate with local resources?
Since I myself is very new in this business venture, and as a young entrepreneur, I would suggest our people, first of all, not to be lazy, because Nagaland is uniquely rich and blessed with all the organic foods, irrespective of different districts, different regions. So we can do much and promote our food and culture and outsource it to the rest of the world, which can be a support system for an individual and also for the economic growth of our state in general.
Thank you so much for being here with us and for sharing about your innovative, creative way of introducing food in a more healthier way to our listeners, to the people of Mon, and also for sharing about your journey to us, from the development of the product to you trying to partner with local farmers, trying to educate the consumers as well about the health benefits of millet as well. And it's really inspiring, really. And so before we sign off, are there any kind of message that you would like to give to the listeners? Also, kindly share where your shop is located at and where do the listeners reach out to you on your socials, even though they cannot be there in person, to keep themselves updated with your work and visually see it. Can you kindly mention about your social footprint as well to all our listeners?
I once again thank Radio Station Kohima for airing my journey in your channel. And to my listeners, do support my work. Let's support local and make it global. If you happen to visit Mon someday, stop by at Millet Magic Restaurant, located opposite to Cultural Office, our way to Ang Chong School, Mon. Thank you.
You've just heard an insightful conversation with Ms. Nenia Koniak, owner and co-founder of Millet Magic Cafe. The interviewer was Akashwani presenter Esangla Chamir. And now, friends, enjoy the heartfelt melody of Guru Ge Moku, Our Land, a soulful Tagin song from Arunachal Pradesh, sung and composed by Yami Puri. This song beautifully captures the essence of the mesmerizing land of Arunachal, its serene atmosphere, holistic peace, and the soothing effect it brings to the soul. This brings us to the close of the edition of Northeast Diary. Join us again next week, same day, same time, for more inspiring stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye and do take care of yourself.
Was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the New Services Division of Akashwani.